Good evening, everybody. It's great to see so many people here on a Saturday night. My name's Ko Jureshan. This is Angelika Saga. We are the Otolith Collective. We've curated this season. On behalf of Angelika and myself, we'd like to welcome you to the sixth screening of A Cinema of Songs and People, the films of Anand Patwardhan. We're delighted to have Anand Patwardhan with us upon the occasion of this comprehensive retrospective that brings all of his major films to Tate Modern for the first time. And we'd like to thank Stuart Comer, Fintan Moran, and the rest of the team at Tate for their support in bringing this season to London. After the screening of In the Name of God, Ram Ke Naam, we're delighted to have with us Salil Tripathi, who will be in conversation with Angelika Saga, myself, and of course with Anand Patwardhan. So I'll just briefly introduce Salil, then Anjali will briefly say a bit about tonight's film, and then we'll hand over to Anand, who'll introduce his work. So Salil Tripathi was born in Bombay, India, and for many years he was a correspondent in India, in Singapore, and Hong Kong. He's written for many important publications, including Wall Street Journal, International Herald Tribune, Washington Post, The Guardian, The Independent, Index on Censorship, Far Eastern Economic Review, Global Asia, and The National. His first book, Offense, The Hindu Case, about the rise of Hindu nationalism and its implications for free expression, has just been published, and he's currently at work on several projects, a collection of travel essays, Corporate Scandal in India, and The War of Liberation in Bangladesh. And we'll be delighted to have Salil Tripathi and Anand with us afterwards. Okay.
So tonight we're going to present Anand Patwardhan's brilliant film, In the Name of God. And I hope you'll share that sentiment with me once you've seen it. It was made in 1991, and it's the first in a trilogy of films that were made over a decade and that were to track the rise of Hindu fundamentalism in India. In this wise and heated cinematic argument, Patwardhan weaves a history and a future of the present that is prophetic, where the force and ferocity of religious fundamentalism begins to take shape and a certain kind of politics begins to emerge, as do the struggles against it. So I'm going to let Anand present the film in more detail in a second, but just to say that the trilogy is going to continue this week. So we have Father, Son, and the Holy War on Wednesday the 24th, and War and Peace, which is on Friday the 26th. So I hope that you'll be joining us for the continuation of the program. Anand?
I know these three films are sometimes described as a trilogy, but I just wanted to tell you that it didn't start like that, in the sense that I was just making one film from the mid-80s on, after the assassination of Indira Gandhi and the massacre of Sikhs in Delhi. And that film was the one that you saw yesterday, day before, was it? Yesterday. It ended up that I had very complex amount of material shot in different parts of the country because I was filming wherever I saw the rise of religious fundamentalism or revivalism. And the first film looks at religious fundamentalism, and the antidote it looks at is class consciousness. So that the film that you saw yesterday was applying Bhagat Singh's ideas to how sectarianism could be fought. But by the time, by the 90s, 1991 is when I was filming this, what had begun to happen in India was that the Hindu right wing was also, had also become active. And as you know, India is a country which has 80% of the people are Hindus. So when Hindu fundamentalism began, it was infinitely more dangerous because of the population. The potential for damage was much greater. And L.K. Advani, the leader of the BJP party, the right-wing party in India, began a chariot journey. They basically, in the mid-80s, the Hindu fundamentalists picked on sites that would be controversial enough for them to make a big issue of it, and they identified many temples across the country that they said were disputed because these were sites which Muslims had occupied. And so these sites needed to be reclaimed. And one of the main sites that was picked on in the mid-80s was the Babri Mosque in Ayodhya, which was claimed to be the spot at which Lord Ram, the Hindu god, was born. And so a movement was created to liberate this site and take it, demolish the Babri Mosque and build a Hindu temple, a temple to Lord Ram in its place, because it was claimed that Babur in the 16th century, Mughal Emperor Babur, had demolished a Hindu temple that stood there and built the mosque in its place. So there were two claims. One is that Lord Ram was... Yeah, I do this all the time as well. In fact, I think I haven't yet switched mine off. Okay. So the claim was that, A, that Ram was born in this place, Lord Ram, and the second claim was that this was a Hindu temple that had been demolished by the Mughal emperor, and now we needed to reclaim it, now that we've become independent and Hindus are in the majority. So this movement began, and a leader of the BJP went in a chariot journey, which traveled all across the country, raising a cadre to go and attack the mosque and demolish it and build the temple. And this was known as, this was called Kar Seva, which is like a religious duty of doing this volunteer work. In fact, bricks were collected all over the world in order to build this temple. They were in villages of India, people donated bricks for the temple. And even in England it happened. People collected bricks in America and many different places. So this was, and of course money was collected to build the temple. So I started to follow this chariot journey in 1990. On the 30th of October, the plan was that everybody will reach Ayodhya at the site and then begin doing Kar Seva. In other words, demolish the mosque and build the temple. So that's all I'll say for now, because the rest you'll see in the film, and then we'll come back to it after you've watched.
Anjali, do you want to begin, and then Salil can respond?
Or Anand, yeah. I mean, one, thank you for that great film, Anand, and that song is just so beautiful, it's just staying with me. But one of the questions I had, because clearly the kind of development of the Hindu fundamentalist party, the VHP and the BJP, I noticed that in the development of the party, there is a kind of relationship that the parties are having to people from different castes and from different backgrounds. And in the film, you kind of interview people from the Dalit community and villagers from the environs around Ayodhya. But there's a scene in which you you're interviewing these guys and you're asking them, and asking many people, what caste they're from. I'm just wondering, did joining these parties or joining these groups kind of in any way ameliorate difference and caste, or the idea of difference and caste for these men?
No. If you're asking whether the BJP type of party or the actually, it's not just the BJP, as the film talks about it at one point, it's a Sangh Parivar, which means the family
of organizations. So the family of organizations begins with the RSS, which is the mother of all of the Hindu right wing. I mean, in independence times, it was the RSS as well as the Hindu Mahasabha, but the Hindu Mahasabha became very small. The RSS continued. And the RSS then subdivided or had different functions. So you have the RSS, you have the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, the VHP, which is the World Hindu Organization. Okay. You have the Bajrang Dal, which is kind of the youth. And in fact, these, as it turns out, these have a caste function in the sense that the RSS is dominated by Brahmins, the upper castes, in the leadership certainly. The Vishwa Hindu Parishad has people from not the highest caste, but some, but pretty high also, middle castes. The Bajrang Dal is the section which attracts the, it mobilizes the working castes. So sometimes a lower caste, even the Dalits, but a lot of backward castes. So it's a strategy for making sure they have a wide representation.
So when you're asking all these guys,
so if you're asking, does the fact that say a Dalit or a backward caste person join the right wing party, the family, does that improve his status? Probably it improves at some level, but it doesn't improve vis-a-vis the others in the party who are upper castes. I mean, you know, the uniting factor is the hatred for Muslims.
Yeah.
And that's the whole function of bringing all these castes together, because the division in the Hindu society for thousands of years has been pretty rigid, I mean, across caste lines. But it's in this period where now they are trying to mobilize everyone against a section of society. So then it becomes useful to come together at one level.